All right, welcome to Hebrew Club. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 24. So we're starting a new chapter in the adventures of David and Saul. And this is actually a very well-known event that happens here that takes place in this chapter, as you will see, and one of kind of a repeating theme that happens in the rest of the book. So we're going to start at chapter 24, verse 1. Vayal David Misham, Vayeshev Bimetzadot Ein Gedi. So David went up, that's again from Allah, from there, Misham, Vayeshev, and he dwelt in the Metzadot. Remember, that's the word for strongholds. We see it already in the book of Judges, but we've seen it a couple times here. This time in the strongholds of Ein Gedi. In the previous chapter, he was in the wilderness of, Zin? Zuf? Ziph, yeah. And so here is the strongholds of Ein Gedi. All right, and I got the map here actually. You can see where he's going. I was looking at this yesterday, and you can see where it's starting to twist around. They actually have the strongholds of Ein Gedi here, so it is a little to the west of the Dead Sea. So I'll pass that around so you can kind of continue to track with him. Okay? Verse 2, Vayehi Kasher Shav Shaul Me'achare Pelishtim Vayagidu Lo Lemor Hine David Ben Midbar Ein Gedi. Alright. Hey, Will.
Hey.
Now it came to pass, Kasher, as soon as Shav Shaul, as soon as Saul returned Me'achare from after the Philistines. If you remember, the Philistines invaded. And so he had to break off his chase of David in the last chapter to go after the Philistines. And so as soon as he returned, Vayagidu, they reported it to him, or they reported to him, Lemor, saying, by the way, I'll just throw this out for you guys to consider. Notice that Lemor frequently comes before direct address, direct speech. One guy has studied the difference between Lemor and Vayomer. You know, sometimes it says, he answered and said, and then it has the speech. And they suggest that here's the distinction, that Lemor is used when the author is not making any claim. He's not making a claim that this is an exact word-for-word repetition. That it's the general idea or something like that, gets the thought of it. Whereas Vayomer is more exact.
So indirect and direct discourse?
Well, it's still both direct discourse, but it's just that the author, when he says Lemor, it would be like us, and he said something like this. See, or this is the gist of what he said. Now, I don't know if that holds throughout. I'm just throwing that out that some people try to actually find the distinction. And there's a lot of reasons why scholars kind of have suggested this. And it has to do with the kinds of phrases that Lemor precedes and the kinds of functions that it seems to have. All right. So just kind of consider that. That's our little kind of grammatical remark for today. All right. And they report to him, Lemor, saying, look, David is Bemidbar Ein Gedi, is in the desert of Ein Gedi. Ah, so he had his spies out. Okay? Any questions on the first two verses? All right, verse 3. Vayikach Shaul Shaloshet Alafim Ish Bachur Mikol Yisrael. Then Saul took from Lakach 3,000 men. Again, notice you have the plural number with the singular noun. Very common. 3,000 men. Bachur. What's that?
That's
chosen. Chosen. Good. And the form?
Call
passive participle. Notice those passives are very often modify nouns. You see that in the nifal, call, and so you see it in the call passive participle. So he took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel. Vayelek levakesh es David va'anashav. And he went from Halak, levakesh, to seek, PL infinitive construct, to seek David and his men. Okay, al. Pene Zure Ha Yeh Elim. Now here's some words that you may not be so familiar with. Al Pene very often means something very similar to lifne, meaning before or in front of. So he went to seek him and his men before, in front of the Zure, rocks of Ha-Ye'elim, the rocks of the, I think that's goat pens or something like that. Let me see what it is. Yeah, Ye'el is a very rare word for mountain goat. So the rocks of the mountain goats. I guess it's a kind of a certain rock formation. All right. Verse 4. Vayavo el Gidrot Hatzon. And he came to the... Okay, Gidrot is the sheep folds. I'm sorry, the hedges. Gedera is like a wall or a hedge. Gedera. And so it would be the hedge, literally the hedges of the flock. And I guess it's referring to the fact that probably in that country, they kept their cattle or their flocks enclosed in like these hedge row fences. When I was in Kenya, there was this Maasai tribe that was actually kind of close to where we were staying. And the missionary I was with was talking to me about some of the habits and customs. And they all had in front of their houses these real thick kind of thorn bush walls or hedges, and he said that's where how you keep predators out and your domestic animals in. And so it's probably much the same for these things. So he came to the hedges of the flock, and a lot of translations will have sheep folds for that reason. Okay, Al Haderek, the sheep folds. Okay, which were by the road, Haderek. Okay. Vesham Me'ara, and Me'ara is a word for cave, and there was a cave. Okay? Vayavo Shaul. So Saul entered, okay, Lehasek. Now notice here the Lehasek is a purpose. In order to Hasek, this is from the word Sakak. Sakak means to cover. Okay, there's two main meanings for sakat, to cover or to weave, to interweave. So Saul went in, lehasek, to cover his feet, which is a common euphemism to use the restroom. Right, he covered his feet. Alright. Now here's the kicker. Go ahead.
Is that a hip feel infinitive construct, thanks.
A hip feel infinitive construct from sakak. Okay. So he went in to cover his feet. Ve'David, now notice the kind of clause this is. Ve'David and David and his men were be'yarkatei ha-me'ara. Okay, even if you've never seen that word, yarkatei, you can kind of guess at the meaning. Ha-me'ara is cave, so be'yarkatei would be David and his men were in the what of the cave? In the back parts or in the inner recesses. The word means the sides of the cave. So obviously, you know what he's talking about. Saul went in and probably stayed close to the entrance. His men, the men of David, were along the sides in the back. Okay? Yoshvim, sitting. Alright? So notice this clause that starts with Ve'David is a circumstantial clause. Alright? Circumstantial. So I would translate it somewhat as a, like with the word while. So Saul went to cover his feet while David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses or on the sides of the cave. Okay? Any questions about this? Can imagine the men trying to not say anything. When you think of it from our modern culture, it's almost comical.
Well, there's 300 men or so holding their breath.
Hold up in there, I know. Back in there, yeah. Exactly. And it gives you the idea of the geography of the country and all the caves and stuff that was in there way to hide. I mean, that's probably why they, even in Afghanistan, you can't find bin Laden because you hide in all these places. Verse 5. Then the men of David said to him, Look, this is, or today, is the day when Yahweh said to you, Hine Anoki Noten. Look, I am going to give et. Now look at this form, et Yoveka. I'll translate this. Give your enemy into your hand. Okay? Everybody, let me read that again. Then the men of David said to him, look, this is the day, or Hayom, today, or it is today, I don't know, that's awkward English. Look, this is the day when Yahweh said to you, look, I am giving your enemy into your hand. Okay, everybody understand that? Now look at that form. That's just to note that the consonants, Aleph, Yud, Beit, Yud, make you think that that noun is a plural, right? Because the Yud before the Kaf tells you, oh, that's the suffix for plural nouns. But notice that the Masoretes point it as if it's a singular. All right, so that you have the vowel, the schwa under the bait. So they're telling you to read it as singular. And if you look at the margin, notice that kaf and above it, the singular form. So they're telling you to read it as a singular, not plural. Okay? All right? So the next line, ve'asita lo ka'asher yita be'eneka. Ve'atita, okay? I'm sorry. Ve'asita. So do. Second masculine singular from Asa. So do to him, lo, kasher, as yitav, as it is good. This yitav is a simple call, imperfect from yatav. It's the first yud, alright, first yud. And notice that the yud of the prefix form is dropped out. You would expect yitav. And again, if you look at the Masoretic note, this kind of form occurs three times. That's what that note says. So usually, you'll have the extra yud with it. You'll have two yuds and you'll be able to tell. In this case, in two other cases, you don't. Okay. So do to him as it is good in your eyes. They meant kill him, of course, probably. Alright. Vayakum David. So David rose. Vayik wrote, and he cut off the kanaf ha-me'il. He cut off the corner of the mantle, me'il, which belonged to Saul, which was to Saul. Ba-lot, okay, lot is the word, is a noun for secrecy, in secret. So he did it secretly. Ba-lot, so notice how the bait plus a noun, and we translate it as an adverb. According to Hebrew, common Hebrew style. All right, good. Any questions through verse 5? It's kind of a lot in that verse. Especially we got some new vocabulary. All right. Verse 6. Now notice how the narrative is going with these vayahi. So, vayahi, acharei kein. Now after this, vayak lev David oto. The subject is lev. The heart of David, Yak. What's that? Struck him from Nakah. The heart of David struck him. Al Asher. Read those together. Al Asher. Yeah, it's causal. Al Asher. Because Karat, he had cut the kanaf, the corner, which belonged to Shaul. Okay? And he said, Vayomer, verse 7, Lanashat to his men. Okay, now look at this idiom. Chalila li me Yahweh. Okay, now notice you have Chalila plus li, and now just kind of put a parenthesis around the me Yahweh. And then you have an im. Okay, everybody see that? This idiom with Chalila is very common. So it's an interjection, Chalila, far be it, and you have to, and so Chalila li means far be it from me. So it's kind of an oath type of thing. Far be it from me. Now he actually strengthens the oath, and this is what's unusual, that me Yahweh. Okay, because usually the mem will precede the thing that he's not going to do. Far be it from me from taking the money. Right? But notice how the mem plus Yahweh functions to kind of strengthen. Far be it from me because of Yahweh or something like that. Right? Now, the im here, remember im in oaths, you would translate surely not. Surely not. So far be it from me because of Yahweh. Surely not. Surely I should not do. Okay? It says, surely I should not do et hadavar hazeh. Surely I should not do this thing. Ladonai, to my Lord. Pause. Now notice the apposition. To the Mashiach Yahweh. How do you translate that?
Anointed.
To the anointed of Yahweh. To Yahweh's anointed. So surely, far be it from me, because of Yahweh, surely I should not do this thing to my Lord, to the Lord's anointed. Okay? That is, shaloah, to send, that's just an infinitive construct call, to send my hand, bow, against him. Ki Mashiach Yahweh, for he is the Lord's anointed. Ki Mashiach Yahweh Hu, for he is the Lord's anointed.
Well, they use the imperfects with this, you know, I should surely not do this thing.
Yeah.
Now, he said that after,
right.
After he did it, right? So why would they use the imperfects here?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on how you interpret that. So prefixed verb forms sometimes have that preterite meaning. Usually preterites are shortened imperfects. They look a lot like justives. Like in any Bob consecutive, you see a preterite form, shortened imperfect. But sometimes even regular imperfect forms have a past tense meaning, and that may be because of how the scribe copied the thing or something like that. So you could translate, surely I should not have done this thing. I mean, you could translate it like that.
It just seems like that would be like a perfect aspect because it's
right.
Done. So
right.
Done with,
but see,
know.
Right, remember, imperfect forms can have simple past meaning if they're preterites. And you see those with Bob consecutives,
right.
And you also see it in poetry, and you also see it in more colloquial language, spoken language. I mean, we've seen it before here in Samuel, where you have perfect prefix forms that seem to refer to a past act.
So you would say this is a preterite form?
You could. It's not the form, isn't it? The form is an imperfect, but the meaning you could give this a simple past meaning, because you'll see forms like this that have meanings because of this in the context. So that's a possible meaning, and like I said, especially in colloquial Hebrew, and maybe it's the way that the scribe. When he saw the shortened one, maybe they didn't use that anymore, so he made it a regular, added the hay to it. There's all kinds of things that could happen. But you'll see those pretty commonly.
But this thing here isn't referring to cutting off the corner of his cloak. It's referring to what his men are saying that that he should do to Saul. Is that right?
Well, I don't know. It depends. That's a good question. Is he referring to his past act? I should not have done this? Because notice what it says in the previous... the heart of Saul struck him because he had cut the corner off. So is that referring to that? I should not have done that. Or, in which case, a more past tense translation would be appropriate. Or, if you take it like you, I will not, surely I will not do this thing, namely, I won't take it any farther. Then you could give it that nuance. Right, I think most, you know, as you're reading along, especially because of verse 6, I would tend to think he's referring to what he had just done. But it's a little ambiguous, as you say, and the form doesn't make it any easier for us, that's for sure. Okay? Okay, va yeshasa davi. Here's another rare word, shasa. It actually means to tear, to rip. Okay, so but notice in most translations it's translated David persuaded his men with his words. By his words. Okay? So here maybe you're right, Daniel, that his men kept urging him to do more, and he's not going to do it. And not Nethanam, he did not allow them, Lakum, to rise El Shaul, to rise against Saul. Okay? Shaul, so Saul come, rose. Now notice here, let me finish this. So Saul rose, Meha Ma'ara, from the cave, Vayelech, and he went by there, on his way. Went on the way. Okay? Now notice how the second part of verse 8, Beshaul, you don't have a Bob consecutive, and again, it's a more, I would say, a lower style to have this subsequent act. Notice that the act is subsequent to the previous one. So David persuaded his men with words, and he did not allow them to rise against Saul. Okay? Then Saul rose from his tent, from the cave, and he went on the way. Right? You could very easily, I would suppose, have the Bob consecutive, but you don't always have that. Okay? Any other questions or thoughts through verse 8? Alright, verse 9. Vayakum David acharei kein. Then David rose after this. Vayetse min hama'ara. And he went out from the cave. Vayakra acharei Shaul. And he called out after Saul, Lemor, saying, Adoni, O my Lord Hamelech, the king. Notice how he addresses him. O my Lord, the king. Vayabe Shaul. And Saul looked Acharav, and Saul looked behind him. All right, from Navat, notice the Hiphil. And Saul looked behind him. Vayiko David apaim arza vayishtachavu. And David bowed down from Kadad. Okay, from Kadad, a call in perfect Bob consecutive. David bowed down apaim face. Arza, to the ground. David bowed down, face to the ground, by Yishtachavu, and he did obeisance. Notice how the author is picturing David here. It's very interesting how you see David's humility, his deference to the king, even though he knew the king was after him. Okay? We'll do one more verse here. Verse 10. Vayomer David la Shaul. Then David said to Saul, Lama tishmaet divrei Adam lemor hine David mevakesh ra'ateka. And David said to Saul, why are you listening to the words of men? Saying, look, David is seeking ra'ateka. David is seeking your harm from ra'ah. Okay? So again, David said to Saul, why are you listening to the words of men? We would probably say, why are you listening to all this gossip? Namely, people saying, look, David is seeking your harm. All right? Then we go on from there. He kind of reveals what he has done, but we'll have to stop here. And we'll pick it up at verse 11 next week. All right?
Thank you.
All right?